it's Eric G from Around the House. Quick favor. If you're enjoying the show, the absolute best way you can support us is by leaving a quick review on your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening to. It literally takes 30 seconds, and here's why it matters so much to us. Those reviews help new listeners discover the podcast, tell the algorithms we're worth recommending, and give us the feedback we need to bring you even better episodes. More of the topics you love and guests that actually move the needle for you. That helps us help you. It's as simple as that. So if the show's been useful, funny, or just made your day a little better, pop over right now, drop a star rating and a couple of sentences. We'll be genuinely grateful. Thanks for being a part of the Around the House crew, and let's keep that conversation going.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us in hour number two. I'm Eric G.
I'm James Vodder.
Man, that was a great discussion we had this last one about renting versus landlord. This one here is going to be about 50% of my soapbox, so everybody better be prepared for that one. And you'll be able to comment on that too, because we're going to post up some stuff on Facebook where you don't want to miss it.
Yep, you can find that at Around the House with Eric G. Also, while you're there, join our private group. That is Around the House Nation. It's where you can share up your pictures of the projects you're working on and talk to a lot of the experts that we have as part of our community.
You got it. Well, this subject here is a hot one for me. I will be talking on a Facebook group or even here on the radio, and I'm going to go, why do they even sell those things in home improvement? And that's what we're going to talk about today. My top 10 home improvement products and services that should even be out there. They should be discontinued in my mind. It's just like, no, you shouldn't be doing it that way anyway. So why do you even sell the product? And it's one of those things that... quite frankly, this is my big soapbox on this one, Dan. We're going to have some fun.
Absolutely. There's plenty of products that I look at, and I just want to ask the marketing team or whoever came up with it, like, what purpose does this serve? What are you taking out of other people's lives to be able to make it so that they don't have to deal with it? That's the whole point, right?
Yeah. It's
make it easier on the consumer.
Yeah. A lot of these are shortcuts that end up being a problem. So let's dive into this one. Number 10, ductless vent hoods. So people go, what's a ductless vent hood? You know, traditionally in a kitchen, you've got that vent that's over the top that either updrafts where it vents up or it goes down as a downdraft. Well, there are ones out there that don't vent outside. All they do is you turn the thing on and it blows the smoke and grease and carcinogens and everything else is coming off the top of that cooktop back in your face. And they put a little cheap charcoal filter there. And they're still sold today. And part of the reason is, and this is again to my soapbox, is that, you know, where we live here in the Northwest, they're not legal to use. Washington, Oregon, many states across the country, these are not legal because they want you to duct that outside. They want to take that nasty, dirty, poisonous air and put it outside.
How dare they?
Right? You know, I was talking with our friend Carolyn Bozowski, you know, America's healthy home expert, and she made this comment to me that just stuck. She goes, why would you want to put that back in your house? And I said, well, of course. She goes, no, you don't understand. That air quality in your house when you're cooking and you're kicking it back into the room, is the same as the outdoor air quality in New Delhi, India. And you think about that and go, oh, that's inside of my house. That air needs to move outside of that. So ductless vent hoods, in my mind, shouldn't be used to remodel. If you've got one, go spend the money and put one in that ducts outside. And really, there's no reason you shouldn't have those in there. The only time that I look and say, okay, that it's hard, is in condominium units where you have hard time getting it ducted out through the outside of the building, where you can't make a hole in the building. Now, they do make, they're expensive, more HEPA filtration units that will put it back in the room, and it takes out the moisture, the smoke, and all the oils and that kind of stuff. But that's an expensive commercial unit that you need to be careful with. But again, that is my number 10. Ductless vent hoods, man. Those things, I every time I see one, I just want to take them out and toss them in the trash because it's just an unhealthy option for everybody. And who doesn't want to have a healthy home?
Absolutely. Well, and especially the way that you explained it, because I don't know much about these. First of all, why do they have a filter if they're just going to blow the air back into your face? And secondly, your air is never getting any better. The longer that you sit there cooking, the worse the air quality in your home becomes.
Oh, yeah. It's just horrible. It's just horrible. So that's my number 10. Now, number 9 is one that is a soapbox one that I see out there. Those cheap $99, $79 toilets that you see at the home centers, the off-brand, house brand, man, those things are so horrible as function. And people go, oh, they work great. No, I have no problem with them. But they won't tell you that it takes 2 or 3 times to flush it sometimes. And if you're supposed to be using 1.6 gallons of water to be energy saving, and you buy a cheap one and you have to flush it twice, now you're at 1970 capacity for a toilet. So all of a sudden you're using way more water than you need to be. And in areas where water's expensive, like California or Nevada or Arizona, where you're paying through the roof for water sometimes, it's a really bad idea.
Absolutely. Spend the extra money to get a good solid toilet. I think you've ballparked like at least about $400 or $500, right?
Yeah, you can spend $400 or $500 and get a really good one. As long as you get, I don't go into the home. I haven't bought toilets in a home center in forever, but I don't go there to get my toilets. I actually go to a plumbing wholesaler or a plumbing specialty store and get the brand I want to get. I'll get like one of the Toto Drakes. You can get those on sale in the 280 range many times, and those will be bulletproof for you, and it's a good way to go. It's going to pay for itself really quickly because you're just not having to pay for wasted water, and it's going to be a long time, before you do that. Side note, I'm going to say on number 9A on this, if I wanted to do it, don't also put any of those chemicals in your toilet tank, like the little blue drops or those bleach things. All they do is chew up, because many times they're bleach, all they do is chew up the insides of that toilet. So if you're going to do something, make sure you're doing it in the bowl, not in the tank. And you can clean that out periodically, don't get me wrong. But anytime you're putting chemicals in there, it's taking the oils out of the plastic, which means you're going to be putting repair parts in there sooner rather than later. And coming up here in another one farther down the list here, there's going to be a few things like that where you're actually doing more damage while you think you're doing good. And that's going to be kind of a hot topic for my top 10 home improvement products and services that should never even be sold.
Well, and you touched on it. I mean, you definitely want to pay that extra couple $100 for a good quality toilet, especially if it's in your home and you use it on a daily basis. And like you said, over the course of maybe even a year, that money, that toilet will pay for itself.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, before we go out to break here in a few minutes, I want to hit on this one because otherwise we're going to, no way we'll get through my top 10. So number 8, low quality bathroom fans. Like the $39 one at the home center. Man,
this is the Eric Soapbox special.
This
right
is, see, I told you, man. I warned everybody. This is the Eric Soapbox special. This is the stuff that I those things are noisy. They don't move a lot of air, and you're just asking for mold and mildew in the bathroom. You think about it. When you're in the bathroom taking a shower and it's like, I haven't washed this thing in a week, and you see that kind of red slime many times, or, you know, that's on the shower system itself, that's just mildew growing. It's a certain mold and mildew. And so the more you can do with ventilation to get that air out of there, the less mold and moisture you're going to have in there, the better off you are. And it just creates a healthier home. So low-quality bathroom fans are a big one for me that I say, man, I wish they didn't sell them. And I know people will say, well, I can't afford it. I get that. I want to have affordable homes, but I also want them to be healthy, because if you are spending that $30 and if you would have spent another $100 to not have you going to the doctor for mold allergies or one of those other things, it's a cheap solution to fix it, and it gets you right. And one of the things that I hate seeing inside of homes, and you can see it if you're watching HDTV or any one of the other shows out there, mold and mildew is one of those that always cranks the budget up on a remodel. And I was just watching a show, Dane, this last week on Renovation Inc., and I like those guys. They're nice people. Man, they opened up the ceiling on this mid-century modern house, and it was a brown and gray moldy mess, and they were going to have to rip the whole roof and ceiling out of that thing, because that whole area, and again, they're up in Toronto, Canada, but still, it was just a disaster. And I was shocked.
That's gross and not what you want to find.
No, I mean, they were going to have to re-sheathe the roof. It was cheaper to tear the roof sheathing, the plywood off the roof, and re-roof it than to go in and clean that up. So now when we come back, I'm going to have probably one of our most controversial ones where people – I'm gonna get some people upset on this one, and you don't want to miss it. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. I could give it my home. Somewhere next to hard water. About 85% of American households have it. It does damage to your plumbing system, tears up your water heater or coffee maker. If you want a water softener without using the heavy bags of salt that everyone dislikes dealing with, check out Natural Soft. It uses a catalytic process instead of salt to control that hard water. When you mix that with Natural Soft's water filtration system, you now have a system to take care of it all. For a clean water you can depend on from Natural Soft, head to solosalescompany.com. Check the show notes for the link and make sure and tell them Eric G sent you.
What's up? This is Stig.
And Satchel from Steel Panther. And you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been talking about, you know, home improvement products that are on my soapbox and things of why do they even sell that? But first,
they're
I want to give
on your naughty list.
Yeah, it's my naughty list. That's for sure. Speaking of that, Facebook is a good place to be careful with the naughty list. We're going to have some discussions about this list over there, and that's Around the House with Eric G. That's where the show goes all week long, where you can find all the different content pieces and stories that I've got going on as well.
Absolutely. And if you really want to go to the pulse of the show, aroundthehouseonline.com. That is our website where you can find the podcast as it's loaded up. Like you said, the show goes all week long. We don't only do our two-hour radio show. You also have a couple different segments that you do throughout the week. We have our Pro Insider. We have our midweek special, all sorts of stuff. You can find that at aroundthehouseonline.com. Also, if you have any DIY questions, give us a call. Here in the studio, 971-233-8992.
You got it. Well, let's talk about my next one on here. And I know this is going to be one of those things where about 50% of our audience is going to go, oh, no, 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 no. So I understand this. So number 10 was ductless vent hoods. Number 9 was cheap toilets. Number 8 was low-quality bath vent. Now, this is going to be a big one here. Top-load washing machines. And I know there's people going, what? Here's the thing. Front load washing machines save so much water. And I mean, you're talking 7 to 10 gallons for a front load machine versus a top load, which could take 40 to 60 gallons, depending on what you're using. I mean, it's not even close. And it's better on your clothes. Now, you're going to hear people that love top load washing machines. And I know this is one of those, this is like starting a Ford versus Chevy versus Dodge truck conversation amongst a bunch of guys and girls out there, because everybody has their hill they're going to die on this one. And that's what this is. But top load washing machines, I think, and I've talked about this in a previous midweek special, I think 2021 is the last year to buy a top load washing machine, period. And I think with our energy standards changing, that we're going to see a much more active Energy Star rating, and you're going to see that get changed here shortly. And I would not be surprised to see the top load washing machine being done later next year. So I think that's there will be an end date for that coming soon. And I think that's going to happen. I've got some insiders that are even agreeing with me on that one. So stay tuned for that. But, you know, it's easier on your clothes, too. I mean, I used to do we talked about this in the, you know, a few weeks ago, but I did a side-by-side latest technology 15 years ago, maybe 20, of a front load machine versus a top load. And we took some brand new towels, ran them through. Much more lint came out in the dryer, because that was just pieces of clothing and towel that have been beaten by the agitator in the inside to get that. So, you know, anyway, that's my little soapbox one. And I think it's going to go away anyway, the top load washing machine.
I would be personally shocked to see that, just because I think everywhere I've lived, I've had a top load washing machine. And it's not because I prefer them. I'm a renter. So, and I'm somebody who, that is a big renting point for me, is I want to have a washer dryer in unit. So I kind of deal with whatever I have. I would just be shocked to see, I mean, they might, maybe there's a mandate that goes in that people stop selling them, but I don't know.
Well, they're not going to take them away.
They're just going to, yeah.
They're never going to take them away, but what you're going to see is you're going to see them quit selling new ones, right?
And probably give incentives to use a front load, I would imagine, if they really want to do it.
You'll probably see that. You'll see some energy rebates on places like that. I mean, that's where that's going to go. They're not going to sit there. It's like, I wouldn't have bet 10 years ago that they were going to get rid of the incandescent light bulb.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're going to discontinue? No one's, you're going to quit making that light? Are you kidding me? And all of a sudden, they quit making them. They're hard to find, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are things that, you know, you go, wow. Did they ban the use of them? No, they just went, no, we're not making any new ones. And if you want to keep something, you're going to have to repair it, you know? And so we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully they won't keep them from making repair parts for those. That could be the other thing, if they wanted to get really hardcore, is to say, okay, and we're not going to make repair
parts. Enforce your hand.
Enforce your hand to change those out one year or the other. So we'll have to watch that and see what happens, but keep an eye out. I'm going to be watching it for you, so stay ahead. You know, just keep stay tuned to Around the House with Eric G for that. As we see changes this next year, we will bring those up. Now, this next one is an interesting one, and we have time to tackle this one, so let's do it. Table saws without saw stop technology. Saw stop, and I got to hang it on the wall here, and we'll talk about it on social media as well. But saw stop is where it senses, you know, like people's touch lamps. You know those, you go into somebody's house and there's a touch lamp, and it, you know, maybe somebody's grandma's house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You touch it, it turns on. Well, what this does is when you touch the moving blade, within a thousandth of a second, it jams that blade down into an aluminum block to stop it. And it stops it. And this is one of those things that works well. It gives you a little
bit. Do they currently make table saws without this technology? I would feel that this would be almost, not mandatory, but kind of a no-brainer to include in any sort of new saw that comes out.
90% of the saws out there don't have this technology. And let's talk about more about that when we come back, because that's the thing right there. SawStop is one brand, but most table saws don't have that technology. And let's give a little personal story about that. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Man, hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. That's where this show goes all week long. Well, I'm sitting here with Dane. We're talking about kind of our soapbox here. Our top 10 home improvement products and services that should be discontinued. And to get people up to speed here, since we're kind of halfway through this segment, ductless vent hoods, number 10, cheap toilets, number 9, number 8, low-quality bathroom fans, number 7, top-load washing machines. I know that's going to make a few people fired up. And then we've been talking here, number 6, which is table saws without saw stop tech. And I'll be honest, I don't have one of these. My table saw is a Milwaukee. It's a wonderful saw. Doesn't have that tech, but you know, my buddy Jeff Devlin from Stonehouse Revival, and he, go back to his Facebook page a couple weeks ago, that saw stop saved his hand. He would not have half his hand in his thumb because of that. We talked about it, but man, every time, I have a great respect for a table saw, and that's why I have 10 fingers. I am dealing with that thing like I'm a bomb technician trying to cut the wires every time I do a table saw. But, you know, I don't do this for a living either. But when I'm remodeling, I am super careful with it. And he made a simple mistake, which we've all made simple mistakes, and he nearly got hurt. And that's just one of those things. If you're going to be going out and buying somebody a table saw, I hate to say it, go out and find that saw stop technology and get it. And it's worth looking at. And it's saved many of people's hands out there. And it's something worth taking a look at.
Well, it just goes to show you that this happens to even the, you know, highest trained professionals. Everyone slips up from time to time. It's good to have safety measures in place.
Absolutely. And I guarantee you the extra few $100 you're going to spend on that saw over the one that you're going to be getting out there, here's the thing, that's cheaper than the deductible of them reattaching your hand. Trust me.
Yeah, that hospital bill is going to be a lot more than that saw.
And you're going to be out of work for a while, so it's just one of those things. Let's go on to the next one here, number 5. Black market circuit breakers on eBay and Craigslist. You're like, what do you mean by black market circuit breakers?
Yes, exactly.
Here's the thing. Cutler Hammer and a bunch of these brands out there in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s have breaker panels that are in people's homes that are dangerous, that are recalled, that cause fires. And these companies are no longer in business. And you can't go buy breakers for them because, well, you don't want to add more electricity to a panel that already could catch on fire. I had one of those in my house when I moved in, and we had an electrician come in and went through all the process, pulled all the right permits, did the panel swap out, and took care of it.
Now, I had the same thing when I moved into my place.
Same kind of
that
thing.
That 1977 panel.
Yep. Same one I had. So, if you jump on Craigslist, eBay, those kind of places, those used 30 to 50-year-old circuit breakers, there are some electricians out there, not the ones I used. My friends at Rose City Electric are reasonable people. There are people out there that are taking those breakers and selling them for the price of new breakers. Used ones, so people can add that extra circuit to their house without having to spend the time on it. I wish that we could fix that because that is going to create its own massive fire hazard.
Well, and I mean, I always try and look at both perspectives, and it's once I figured out how much it costs to actually replace that breaker box, I was like, oh, I kind of want to look for something a little cheaper, but it's better to not, and, you know, err on the side of safety.
There are things like electricity and plumbing that you got to step up and pay the piper on because it's going to cost you one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And my house, my panel was bad. I had a failed line that was coming to the house right by the weatherhead up there where the neutral was starting to short out against the one of the hot wires coming in. I was weeks to months from having an electrical fire in my house. And that's expensive. Nobody wants a house fire, man, right?
Absolutely. Especially if you could have kept it from happening in the first place.
Especially for a few thousand bucks, and that's the crazy part. Well, hey, let's move on because we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. The next one, that white vinyl dryer duct. And again, it's one of my things that, you know, when you go back and look at the backside of your dryer, it's the white vinyl ducting that goes between the dryer and the wall where the duct goes outside.
The You're talking white about one? The collapsible ducting?
Yeah, that one there, the white one, is flammable. Those will burn. So if you get any kind of a fire and the dryer's running, you have now added more fuel to the fire instead of the metal ones that don't burn. Now, you might burn through it with a big fire, but it's not going to combust like the vinyl plastic ones. Those vinyl plastic
spread
ones,
elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You're not, that, those are meant for non-heated air, for like if you're going to run a bath fan and not to current code, that's how you do it, is with those. Those white vinyl ducts don't need to be there. You're not going to use it on a bath fan because most areas they have stricter code than that anyway. So that white vinyl 4-inch duct that goes out should be not on the market today because that is one fire getting ready to happen.
That's what we call a fire hazard.
You got it. Now, here's the one that is going to be number three, is one that could get the attorneys going against me. Maybe. And then the other one here that's
just what your producer wants to hear.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is the one here. This is the one you're like, gee, Eric, what are you doing now, man?
Why?
Why? Here's the thing. Magic eraser that you see out there, that little white rubbery eraser thing, is used in so many wrong areas that you should never use it. What's it good to clean? Like plastic laminate? There's a lot of things it's good to clean. What's it not good to clean? Anything that's painted or finished. Think about this. Magic eraser is basically 1600 grit sandpaper. Some people say 12. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say 1600 grit sandpaper. So when you use it on a cabinet, you are wet sanding that cabinet.
The finish right off.
Yeah. Like on my one of my classic cars, for instance, that I've had, if I wanted to buff that thing out, I would lightly wet sand it at 1,000. I'd take it to 1,600 grit, maybe 2,000 grit, and then I'd get out the buffing compound and buff it and polish it because I wanted to take the top surface of the paint off to get it really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Magic eraser is 1,600 grit sandpaper.
Same thing.
So when you think about that, if you go hit the outside of the toilet, or even worse, inside the toilet bowl to get the little rings off on the inside, you are now putting micro scratches on that finish. Now, if you've got a brand new toilet and you're doing that, you've now created a place for dirt particles to grab a hold of because you've now scratched that up.
Yep, you've given them grooves to get in.
Yeah, so you've now made things dirtier and harder to clean by using it. You know, if you're going to use it on stainless steel, go with the grain. But you might be taking a protective finish off of it, especially if it's a refrigerator. I wouldn't do it on any painted or any kind of a surface, like a white bathtub. Again, cast iron, great. You're putting micro scratches. You're going to make it harder to clean. So that magic eraser is only good in a few areas. And I would not be using it on anything that is a finished product like that. You know, including any kind of wood or anything like that, any painted surfaces, it's going to be a disaster. And
so you're saying basically like the sink is a good place. Like a stainless steel sink, you can use it. Where else would you use it?
Maybe a laminate countertop, something like that. Maybe grout. Where you're trying to clean dirty grout and it's concrete, you know, something like that. Okay. Where the color goes all the way through it. I mean, you could use it on a Corian countertop, but again, you're going to a solid surface countertop. You're going to create a area that has
it.
Yeah, it's going to have a different sheen to it. So you're taking material off. So all of these things, you know, I would use it maybe on a pan where you've got a baked on cooking surface or something. Maybe you're okay there. you know, where you've got a non-stick surface on the inside, you're probably not going to hurt that. But again, there's a lot of places, 80% of the places around your home that you might use that, I'm going to tell you not to use it. And the same thing goes with any of the abrasive cleaners. That same kind of thing. It's still a gritty surface that you want to use. That abrasive cleaner, maybe you're going to try to rescue that bathtub, but guess what? If it's dirty anyway, use a non-abrasive cleaner if you can, because if you're having to go to the grit to get there, you're just sanding the finish. So again, just be careful. That magic eraser can be really bad for decorative finishes around your home. Be very careful with it. I have seen personally, I've had a kitchen, entire kitchen get ruined by that. Put a new kitchen in, a couple years later, I get a call from a homeowner. Hey, you put my kitchen a couple years ago. My house cleaner came and scrubbed the kitchen with it. And I'm like, you got to repaint the entire kitchen. It was going to be ugly. All right, when we come back here, we're going to hit the last two. Number two and number one, just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, everybody, it's JT from Barbecue Nation. If you're listening to Around the House, you can also hear Barbecue Nation on this platform. That's Barbecue Nation, where we talk about outdoor cooking and fun.
Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, where did the show go? We're in the last segment already.
Man, we breezed through that first hour. I really liked our conversation on, renters versus landlords. But then, yeah, once we get into these lists, it just kind of gets away from us sometimes.
Absolutely. Well, hey, hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G., where you can follow this show all week long. And if you're listening on the radio, catch the podcast because you're only catching part of it. And that's over at aroundthehouseonline.com.
Absolutely. Give us a call if you have any DIY questions. Our number's here in the studio, 971-233-8992.
If you're just joining us here, let's give a quick rundown on our top 10 home improvement products that I think should be discontinued out there in the marketplace. Number 10, ductless range hoods for your kitchen. 9, cheap toilets that don't work. Number 8 is low-quality bathroom vents. They're noisy and don't work anyway. 7, the controversial one, top-load washing machines. I think those are on their way out. Number 6, table saws without saw stop technology or something similar. Number 5 has been black market circuit breakers on eBay and Craigslist. Number 4, vinyl dryer ducts, the white one that burns if you catch a fire. And number 3, magic eraser, or at least better warnings on it that don't, quite frankly, tear things up in your household when people use it incorrectly. Now, number 2, Dane, is a big one here that we beat this dead horse a couple years ago when it was all over the radio, as we say. Formaldehyde glues out in the marketplace. And that really comes up when it comes into flooring, you know, like the lumber liquidators controversy that I brought back up this last week.
Yep.
I mean, that was for probably a year when CBS exposed that the lumber liquidators at the time was selling flooring that was California Air Resource Board compliant, that it had no added urea formaldehyde, and they were using formaldehyde glues to save money and then just putting the stamp on the box and it met those standards.
Mm-hmm.
That got to be a problem.
Absolutely. Well, you're cutting corners and you're marketing something as one thing when it's definitely not the case.
And you're putting cancer-causing agents in,
well, yes, of course,
in the product and selling it, saying you don't have it was ugly. It was ugly. Now,
so are people still doing that?
Yeah, I don't think there's enough testing out there. Now,
okay.
Lumber liquidators paid millions, tens of millions of dollars in fines in this. They let go of their founder and CEO and said, hey, we're cleaning our act up. They had a bumpy road there. But Where did the founder and CEO go? He went out and started Cabinets to Go, which is another company out there, which is selling cabinets and now flooring. So I would keep your eye out.
And it's always a red flag.
And use that past performance as an indicator to make sure. And I would sure love to see some testing on that product to make sure that it's meeting the California Air Resource Board, that it's compliant. And I hope they're paying attention to that stuff. So formaldehyde glues you see in many, it's not really used in the U.S. anymore, but those glues are out there. And it's really dangerous, and there's people that are very susceptible to that. And it can be a cancer-causing agent, and that's one of those that you got to be careful with. So make sure that, you know, formaldehyde is natural out there. The new no-added urea formaldehyde products are really safe. You think about it, there's a lot of formaldehyde in an apple.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't want the stuff that's packed into panels and things like that. So make sure you're careful with where you're getting your products of that. Now, number one.
Number one.
You got it. This is one of those that I think just we shouldn't be using in our homes. The heavy-duty drain cleaners. The acids.
The Drainos and the... Yeah.
All of those. Because here's the thing. They don't work generally. I mean, by the time you use those things, now, there are some drain cleaners out there that are green that work okay. And when they're starting to get bad, they can open things up a little bit. But here's the problem. The only time people usually get them out to use them is when the drain's already plugged, right? I mean, and you're pouring it down a sink or toilet or something like that, and you've already got
that's
the water stopped
plugged
up, right? I mean, what's your experience? Is that kind of how you've seen it?
So I've never used any of the drain. I've thought about it before. Yeah. I typically, I just have a, like a short little snake that I use.
And that works great.
And that, it, well, yeah. I feel like I might need a longer one or that it's not working as well as I'd hoped, but I still haven't gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm going to throw a bunch of chemicals down my pipes and hope this works.
The problem is those chemicals, especially if you've got like cast iron and stuff like that, they just eat everything up. They ruin the plastic. They ruin everything. And so what happens many times is you have a twofold problem. One, it's going to eat up any metal parts that are down that drain system. Two, they could sit there in a spot and keep eating it and keep eating it and keep eating it.
Exactly.
Third, you're going to have to put a plumbing, call a plumber or put tools down there to really fix the problem anyway. And so now you're dealing with this caustic chemical or acid, depending on which brand you have, that's going to be tearing into you and creating your own safety hazard for yourself or the plumber that you hired to come out there to fix it. So that's one of the ones that I just don't use it. I just one of those things that I think it just ends up causing more problems than what you think. And I think you're smart, Dane. Just to use that snake and do it yourself.
Yep. You can buy them at any hardware store or any, I mean, most, I mean, even, you know, all purpose stores will have something that you can pick up.
You got it. You got it. Well, man, we ran out of time this week. We just barely got through those.
Whew.
Man, time flies. Hey, make sure you listen during the podcast during the week to the midweek special. And of course our trades only one, which is the Pro Insider. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around,
Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
it's Eric G from Around the House. Quick favor. If you're enjoying the show, the absolute best way you can support us is by leaving a quick review on your favorite podcast player. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you're listening to. It literally takes 30 seconds, and here's why it matters so much to us. Those reviews help new listeners discover the podcast. Tell the algorithms we're worth recommending and give us the feedback we need to bring you even better episodes. More of the topics you love and guests that actually move the needle for you. That helps us help you. It's as simple as that. So if the show's been useful, funny, or just made your day a little better, pop over right now, drop a star rating and a couple of sentences. We'll be genuinely grateful. Thanks for being a part of the Around the House crew, and let's keep that conversation going.